The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity this morning to gather together and worship. I'm thankful for the truth of the songs that we have sung this morning. I'm thankful for our hope. Our only hope this morning is the person and work of Jesus Christ. And he's the reason we can sing. And even if we can't sing this morning because of circumstance or trial or adversity of life, or there's just something within us that doesn't desire to, you still meet with us right where we are. And as we come to open up your word, my prayer is that, Spirit of God, you would speak and move and maybe lift up our heads and reveal truth and hope and encouragement and challenge. That the beauty of how you work is you meet each of us right where we are. The grace that you have for us is tailor-made for where we walk and where we find ourselves this morning. So I pray that we would listen, be aware, and open our ears and hearts to maybe allowing God to speak to us today. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, Doug. Thanks for leading through the voice and all of the things going on there. It is good to see you. Happy New Year. That was a really good response. It's awesome. Just curious, how many of you were awake after midnight last Saturday? Yeah. You got to know your congregation. Now, I know if we would have met the next morning, that would not have been the case. You would have turned the TV off in the fourth quarter. And you would have been in bed, prayed up, ready to get up and be here. I know that's not true. I am happy to be back. I'm excited about a new year together. In 2 weeks, January 19th, we will start a series on the providence and promises of God through the life of Joseph. And so we're going to take several weeks this spring, and we're going to be studying Genesis 37 through 50. And if you're newer to Summit, we're typically teaching through books of the Bible. That's our regular MO around here. And occasionally we'll take one, two, three, maybe four Sundays a year, and we'll teach on a particular value that we have as a church. And like we're going to do the first two Sundays, we're going to actually take the two first Sundays of the year and just talk about how we are praying for our congregation in this coming year. And so it's going to give us an opportunity to share some vision with you, to let you know what the Lord is putting on our hearts as elders, to even celebrate, look back a little bit over 2019, and just thank the Lord, celebrate God's faithfulness to us as a congregation, individually, collectively, and then just admonish one another. So if you're new to Summit this morning, we're glad you're here. Welcome. The next couple Sundays is going to feel very pastoral, shepherdly, going to just encourage you, admonish you with a few things as we look to a brand new year. And I think it's actually a great time for you to be here to see what we value, to see what we're passionate about, and where we're headed as a church, a congregation in the new year. If you have a copy of God's Word, Colossians 1 is where we're going to be today. Colossians chapter 1. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, it'll be on the screen, but we value you having a copy of God's Word. So if you don't own a copy, we'll give you one. All you got to do is go by Connections today, let them know that you don't have one. Our team will gift you with one, and we would love for you to place that into your hands and have it for your benefit. In March, we will celebrate our 9th birthday as a congregation. We turn 9, and 9 still young, really young. This year is 17 years for me in vocational ministry. And I don't know if you know, I don't even know if I've ever really articulated this, but when we started 9 years ago, I never really had a desire to plant a church. Never had a desire to be a part of church planting. And in God's providence, 2010, I'm finishing up my seminary education, and the fall of that year, the Lord placed a desire within me. This is the best way I know how to describe it. To be a part of gospel saturation in the upstate of South Carolina. Nowhere in the vicinity of that desire was, let's go plant churches. No. And honestly, you can talk to my wife. I thought we would be a part of revitalization. So going into existing churches that were struggling on the brink of dying and helping revitalize those churches. I really thought that's what we would be a part of. But I knew in 2010, after about 10 years, 10 years of student ministry, associate pastoral work, that the Lord was leading us into a new direction to be a part of gospel saturation in the place that I was born and raised in, and the place that I called home, upstate South Carolina, 10 counties, 1.4 million people. And the question that, as we pray, that kept coming to the forefront of our minds and hearts was, what might it look like to see gospel saturation throughout this region? And here's what I knew 10 years ago, or in 2010. Here's what I knew and what I still know to be definitively true today. God wants the upstate of South Carolina to be saturated with the knowledge and glory of God. That's what I know. And maybe you say, well, what about the world? Yes, the world. How do we know that? Well, I want us to look at Colossians 1, because we're going to see the very heart of gospel saturation embedded in the coming of Jesus Christ. So let's begin reading in verse 15. We're going to look at a few sections in this section of Scripture this morning. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And so what Paul tells us here is, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. You know, that from the outset in verse 15 is this picture of the visible imprint. If you want to know who God is and what God is like, then look at the person of Jesus. Jesus is the bodily expression to the world of what Yahweh is like. So he tells us here, Jesus came to fill the earth with the knowledge and glory of God. It's a total saturation, if you will. A total saturation where the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of who God is and the awareness of his glory. This is why Jesus Christ came to earth. I want to read another section of Scripture to you from the prophet Habakkuk. And we'll see, again, this idea of saturation, of what God's desire is. Habakkuk 2:14, I think the text will be on the screen for you. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, why make that distinction? the waters cover the sea. Why distinguish between water and sea? Well, it's clearly speaking to saturation. What the prophet Habakkuk is telling us is there is coming a day where the knowledge of the glory of God will cover every square inch of the earth. That you and I will not be able to distinguish between any place on the earth from the glory of God. Now think about that. Every single square inch of this earth, every place we go, every place that we step into, every single environment, every conversation will be filled with one thing: the knowledge and the glory of God. Can you imagine what that day will be like? There'll be no selfish thoughts, no selfish desires, no selfish ambitions. There'll be no more sin. Everything will be always and continually filled with the knowledge and glory of God. That's profound. And if you trace the heart of God from Genesis to Revelation, what you discover is not just in the original design of God, but in the sending of His Son, the incarnate Word of God, the living Word, to come and dwell among us. His coming was literally so that the entire earth would be saturated with a distinct knowledge and awareness of who God is, what He's like, what He's up to, and what it means to live our lives in light of His glory. So everything until that day, this vision that God gives to the prophet Habakkuk, everything until that day is leading us to that day. What I mean by that is this: everything matters. Everything matters. Every environment, every place, every conversation, every story, every life, every community, every neighborhood, every city, it all matters. And here in Colossians 1, Paul tells us how the Lord intends to fill the earth with the knowledge and glory of God. He tells us that He's going to do it through His church, whom Christ is the head of. His church, whom Christ is the head of, is the vehicle that God is using to saturate every place, every environment, every square inch of this earth with the reality and glory of who God is through the person and work of Jesus Christ. The knowledge and the glory of God will fill the earth through the redeemed people of God. So I want you to see the significance of what is taking place in Colossians 1. What he's telling us, that Jesus came to reveal to us what God is like. That's why He came. So that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and our neighbors and our bosses and our co-workers and our friends and our families would be able to know who God is. But He also came to transform you and me by that very glory. So Jesus didn't just come to reveal glory. He came to transform us by glory. Look back up at verse 9 of Colossians 1. This is what Paul says: "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So this filling up, right? You and I being filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding is so that you and I can walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So you and I, he says, born into the domain of darkness, which literally means our natural inclination is to not live lives filled with glory, God's glory. Our natural inclination is to live our lives in disorienting darkness. But in Christ, we have been rescued. In Christ, we have literally been set free. We've been taken out of the domain of darkness, and we've been placed in the kingdom of the beloved. Through faith in the good news of the gospel, we are united with Christ so that we may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, let me explain the word knowledge there that he tells us in verses 9 and 10. The word knowledge is not information. The word knowledge here is firsthand, experiential, relational knowledge. It's the difference between knowing about someone because you watched a documentary on Netflix versus knowing something about someone because you have a friendship with that person. In Christ, Paul says, we are transformed, brought into union with Jesus to be filled up with firsthand, experiential, relational knowledge of what? God's will, God's desires, God's glory. This is how the Lord in his kindness and his genius sovereignty intends to fill the earth with knowledge and with his knowledge and glory. It's through filled up image bearers. Filled up image bearers who have been transformed by Jesus, living lives, he says, that are worthy, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So what does that mean? It means that we live a life that's fitting of Jesus. Literally, living a life that reflects our experiential knowledge of Jesus. So that everywhere we go, so that every conversation that we take part in, everything that we touch, we are joining God in his mission to bring his knowledge and his glory of who he is to that place and to that person, all for the sake of every man, woman, and child. I want to be clear with you this morning. There's only one way. There's only one way, according to Scripture, that God is going to fill the earth with his knowledge and glory. And that is through you and me, his church. God fills the upstate of South Carolina and every other neighborhood and region and community and city through his people. Guys, I want you to know, man, your life matters. Your job matters, whether or not you like it or not. Whether or not it brings the return that you think it should. It matters. It is a domain that God in his sovereignty has placed you inside of. Why? To bring his knowledge and glory to that place. Your job matters, your neighborhood matters, your school matters, it all matters. If you belong to Jesus this morning, the significance of what Paul tells us in these verses is that the fullness of the deity of God dwells within you by his Spirit. Think about that. Everywhere you go, you are filled with the knowledge and the glory and the presence of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Everywhere you go, you're telling a story about his glory. If you are indeed reborn into Christ. Look down at verse 27 of Colossians 1. He's going to tell us the significance of this. He says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is this, Christ in who? You. Which is what? The hope of glory. Christ in you. Christ made known through you, which is the hope for those who don't currently have hope. Christ in you. Where? Everywhere. In your home, in your neighborhood, in your marriage, in your parenting, on your job, on your campus, at the gym, at the grocery store, on social media, there is not one domain, not one place that doesn't tell the story of the knowledge and glory of God for the person who has been transformed by the knowledge and glory of God. Not one. And what I want you to see is that this vision is for you. It's for me. It's for us. Now, here's why I make that distinction. It's not merely a vision for you, and it's not merely a vision for me. It is a vision for us. The primary application of Colossians is not individualistic, it's communal. How will God fill the earth, fill your neighborhood, your community, this city with the knowledge and glory of God? Through his church, through the redeemed people of God. So let me give you just maybe a quick understanding, the definition of the church. The church is you being equipped by others. The church is you equipping others. Those go together. Let me say that again. The church is you being equipped by others. You equipping others. The church is me being equipped by others. Me equipping others. It's being equipped in order to equip. Now, I'm going to be lovingly honest here for a moment, okay? If you are not growing in both, being equipped in order to equip, then here's what I want you to know. You're a consumer. You're a consumer that is hindering the work of God through the church. If you are unwilling to grow in both, both being, I'm willing to be equipped by the body so that I might be a part of equipping the body. You are not functioning within God's design, which is hindering the church from being filled with the knowledge and glory of God, which hinders the church from demonstrating that very knowledge and glory. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. The only way gospel saturation happens is if we are maturing in our own discipleship while being willing to help others grow in their own discipleship. It doesn't happen apart from that. Gospel saturation in your home, in your life group, in this church, doesn't happen apart from a mutual commitment of being equipped in order to equip. Disciples who make disciples. So, I said all of that to say this. Here's my prayer. It's one of the things that I want to put before you. Again, if you've been around Summit, this won't be new to you. But I want you to know, as Doug shared, a specific way he's praying for our congregation this year, I want you to know how I'm praying for our congregation this year. So I put it this way, that we would be a gospel-saturated people, filled with God's presence, equipped for God's purposes for all of life. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me. That you and I would be a gospel-saturated people, filled with God's presence, equipped for God's purposes for all of life. And so I want to take the remainder of our time, and I want to define gospel saturation for you. And what I mean by gospel saturation for us as a congregation, and there's three ways that I'm praying for gospel saturation for us, and I'm going to give you two today. I'm going to come back next Sunday and talk about the third. Here's the first one: biblically serious. Gospel saturated people, filled with God's presence, equipped for God's purposes for all of life. If we are going to be a gospel saturated people, we must be a people who are biblically serious. Must be. Every single word that I've uttered this morning that I'll continue to articulate over the next 20, 21 minutes, if I abide by that time, every single word is meaningless if it doesn't point you to the God of this Bible. Here's the flip side of that. Every single word I utter will be forgotten by the time you finish lunch today if you aren't growing in your affection for the God who's revealed through this Bible. I want you to know, the elders of Summit are not desiring to make you fall in love with a book. Everything we do, every equipping environment, every life group, every Sunday morning of why we teach through the Scriptures is to prayerfully seek to lead you, equip you, empower you, to help you fall in love with the God who is revealed through this book. The Bible isn't about you or me. It's about the knowledge and the glory of God that He wants to reveal to you and me. This book is not a self-help book. It's not a personal roadmap. It's not a book that offers good advice. It is a book filled with the knowledge and glory of God. It's filled with the knowledge and glory of God and how God wants to consume every square inch of this earth with a redeemed people who are also filled up with that knowledge and glory that can join Him on His mission of doing just that. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you biblically serious? Maybe I can pose it this way. Is there a desire within you to know the God who is revealed through this book? Is there a desire? Now, I'm talking to believers, to those of you in the room who profess faith in Christ. Do you desire to know God as He has revealed Himself through His Word? Maybe I could say it this way. How can you trust a God that you don't know? How can you follow a God that you have no knowledge of? Why would you ever give your life to joining God on His mission if you don't have firsthand experiential knowledge of who this God is and what He's up to and what He desires for your life? The mind that cannot discern truth from error will wear itself out in anxiety. Have you ever thought about where your anxiety and fear and worry come from? Have you ever thought about it? Is it really the unmet expectation of where that anxiety is coming from? Is it really the fact that there's so much unknown out in front of you and you don't know how to navigate it, and so it's circumstantially that's the thing that is revealing the root of your fear and worry? Or is it maybe, just maybe, your mind and heart have no real personal knowledge of who God is and what he is up to and what he desires for your life? Is it possible that you have taken a version of God and recreated him into your own image? And that very recreation of who God is the very root of your worry and your fear and your anxiety. Is it possible that your life lacks a tangible, experiential knowledge of the God who has revealed himself in the Bible? I just want you to be honest with yourself. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to necessarily confess that out loud today. But if there's an inclination in your heart to go, yeah, no, I'm not biblically serious. And I'll be honest, I rely on Sunday morning. Or I rely on so-and-so podcast. Or I rely on an experience, an encounter from 5, 10, 15 years ago. I just want you to know, it doesn't have to be that way. The God that we are singing to and talking about today desires to meet you here. He'll meet with you here if you desire to meet him here. That's my prayer for you this year. That's the prayer of the elders over this congregation, is that the people of Summit would find themselves in continual moments. Doug's point, consistently hearing from the Spirit of God through the Word of God for themselves. That's what we're constantly praying over you. I lovingly, man, I want to call you this year. Take a step towards becoming biblically serious. I don't know how. That's why you're a part of the church. We just had an equipping class. 35, 36 people went through a three-week class. They're all now equipped to know how to teach you how to read the Bible. We have resource after resource after resource at your disposal, at our disposal, to give you, to equip you. If you want to learn how to become biblically serious, you can do that here at Summit. You can do that. That's what I'm praying for you, over you, for myself this year. Gospel saturation, biblically serious. Number two, partner together as disciples who make disciples. Biblically serious, partner together as disciples who make disciples. I'll be the first person to acknowledge that Summit isn't perfect. I'll go ahead and get that out of the way. Not a perfect place. And if you know my story, you know that at the age of 19, I, for a very short season, walked away from the church. I was in a place in my life I wanted nothing to do with it. So if you sit here today and you're struggling with the church, you're struggling with leadership, you've been burned by the church itself, burned by leadership, and you go, man, the church is just, it's filled with flaws, and it just often misrepresents Christ. Here's what I want you to know. I get it. I have too been where you are. No perfect church. And Summit's far from it. But I also want to say this to you. I want you to know that God, if we believe his word and we trust in his work, God is purifying his church through its flaws. In spite of its flaws. Which, by the way, includes you and me. It includes you and me. He's maturing you and me to better represent his knowledge and glory. And the only way that happens is in the context of community. Now, how do I know that? Well, it's what he says. right? A partnership of disciples who say, I'm going to grow in my faith. I'm going to become biblically serious. And as I am on the journey of becoming biblically serious, I'm going to help other people become biblically serious also. Man, the Lord will mature you. He'll grow you through the church. I could stop talking and allow people to stand up across this room who would testify to that. The Lord will stir your affections through your partnership with God's people. Now, here's what I've learned after 17 years of ministry. I can't convince you of this. I have spent many nights, sleepless nights. I have spent seasons filled with anxiety and frustration trying to convince people. And here's the place I'm at. I can't convince you. But if you'll become biblically serious, the Lord will. That's what I know. If you'll find the truth of what we're proclaiming rising up from the scriptures, the Spirit of God through the Word of God, we'll confirm these things. So I want to give you a couple cautions. And we're going to be done. I feel like I need to caution you against a couple things. Here's the first one. If the church is take it or leave it for you, right? It's merely optional. Take it or leave it. If everything lines up this week, I'm there. I'm connected to this group of people, so I'm bought in. If it's a take it or leave it mentality, then the people within this community are nothing more than a commodity to you. Goods to be used for your benefit. So here's what that means. You'll show up when you want to show up. And you'll give as little as possible, hoping for the highest return on your investment. And you'll assess and critique this body, this community, or anybody, any community, as if that body, that community exists for your benefit alone. I caution you against take it or leave it mentality, because you, if that's where you are, you're abusing the very bride of Christ. You're abusing the very instrument by which God is desiring to grow and mature you while bringing good news to a world that doesn't yet have hope. So I lovingly want to say to you, stop resisting the very people to whom Christ bled and died for. Lean in, embrace the imperfection, and God will grow you. And he'll do a work through you for the benefit of others, which is all for his glory. Here's my second caution. Treating the church as a hobby is incredibly dangerous. If you've reached the place where church is just a part of your routine, and maybe not even weekly routine, like that, the whole, you know, it's in most of your country songs today. Like it's popular. It has been popular to go to church on Sunday. That's no longer popular to go to church on Sunday. Still a little bit in the South. But if it's merely just part of the routine, and yet you come, and maybe you even serve, and maybe you show up. You show up monthly or twice a month, or you're even more consistent than that. And there's no real desire to pursue the Lord, to follow him, to allow your life to be filled with his knowledge and glory, I just want you to know that's incredibly dangerous. And here's why. Because anytime the word of God is proclaimed, we are accountable to that word. You and I are accountable to the word that we have heard. Here's what I rest in today. I don't give you my thoughts. I don't give you my opinion. I can rest knowing when we leave this place today, the word of God's been proclaimed, and you will be accountable to the Lord for what you've heard. Now, here's why this is so incredibly important for me to say this to you this morning. The Word of God's always doing something. It's either melting the ice or it's hardening the clay. And as a pastor, one of the most beautiful things that I get to be a part of is watching the Word of God do a work in people's lives. Watching the Spirit of God through the Word of God melt hard hearts, soften bitter hearts, take hearts that are fearful, filled with anxiety and worry, and turn that into a confident, quiet trust in God's provision. Simultaneously, one of the most heart-wrenching parts of being a pastor is watching the Word of God harden, cold and calloused, nominal, apathetic hearts. I see it all the time. Do you know it has the ability to actually change the countenance? The gospel does. Do you realize that? It's always doing something. And that's a great confidence for me, because it reaches far beyond my inability or ability to proclaim it. As a pastor, I have watched growing, vibrant, passionate believers turn now to resisting the Lord to become cold, hard, and calloused by the same word that was proclaimed to them. So here's my caution to you, is to know that the word that you are receiving, you are accountable to, not me, to the Lord. And know this, it's always doing something. It's either melting, softening, stirring you, or if you have no intent to let your life be laid bare before the Lord Almighty, to follow Him and serve Him, it's hardening you. It's taking a soft, palpable heart, and it is hardening the clay. Word of God never lies dormant. Never lies dormant. Gospel saturation, a people that's gospel saturated, filled with God's presence, equipped for God's purposes for all of life. Biblically serious is the first step to becoming gospel saturated. Second step is in our pursuit of the Lord is a willingness to move towards one another, to help one another grow in this maturity. This is what we're about at Summit. If you're going to stick around Summit, this is what we're going to lovingly call you to. You're going to continue to hear us talk about life groups around Summit. You're going to continually hear us talk about being invested and connected in meaningful relationships that are centered upon the gospel. We're going to offer equipping environments we're going to call you into those equipping environments to help you grow up and mature, be filled with the knowledge and wisdom of God so that you can be released to help others do the same. That's what we see rising from Scripture. So my question to you this morning is, will you take a step this year in your partnership with His family? Maybe a way that you can answer that question is this. What is my role in God's mission through His church? What's my role? Make it personal. What's my role? If this is the community, if this is the people to which you feel like the Lord is leading you to be a part of, what's your role? And I want you to, I'm challenging you to answer the question, because your answer to the question has everything to do with gospel saturation. Husbands, the answer to that question has everything to do with gospel saturation in your home. Everything. Parenting. Your answer to the question has everything to do with gospel saturation in the environment of your family, your marriage, your personal life, this community, your circle of accountability. Gospel saturation takes each man, woman and child, to reach every man, woman, and child. I'm going to invite Doug to come back out. And as we close this morning, I want to challenge you to set some goals this year that pertain to your faith. Some faith goals, if you will. And maybe the best way that I can set that up is by the prayer that has been on the back wall for all of 2019. It's not, for those of you who've been around longer than a year, you know that we've challenged you to pray that prayer. What am I praying for that is in line with the mission of God, for the glory of God, that only God can do? That's a good place to start when we talk about faith goals. What am I willing to pray? What are you willing to pray for? 2020. I'm not asking you to think of 10 things or 5 things. Maybe one. Start with one thing. What am I going to pray for that's in line with God's mission, for God's glory, that only God can do? And so I want to give you some thoughts and maybe help you. Maybe this year, your answer to that prayer is you're going to begin to read the Bible for yourself. I'm going to begin to read the Bible. And here's what I want you to know. If that is the step the Spirit of God is leading you to, there are innumerable resources at your disposal within this community of faith to help you do that. Number two, I'm going to stop consuming. And I'm going to begin to use my gifts for the benefit of this congregation, for the growth and the maturity, the vitality of this faith family. I'm going to stop looking at this people as a commodity of goods to be used for my benefit alone. Maybe your step is, I'm going to start serving on Sunday. We have a multitude of opportunities for you to serve this congregation. And we need you. It's an all hands on deck. And maybe you've been here for a long season and you sit. It's time to serve. It's time to serve. And maybe that's your step. Perhaps your answer to that question is, I'm going to join a life group. I'm going to be a part of a life group. I'm going to start serving within my life group. I'm going to stop looking to just one couple or two couples to lead the way, but I'm going to actually serve for the benefit of my community. I want you to go and put 2 dates on your calendar. February 9th, February 16th, Sunday evening, 4 to 6 p.m., we're going to have Life Group Connect Nights here at Summit Easley. And it's 2 identical. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the purpose of life groups at Summit. And we're inviting all of Summit to participate. Whether you've been in a life group for 9 years, or you've never been in a life group, or you're in between life group, we're asking, encouraging everyone to be a part of one of the 2 nights, because both nights are the same, it's identical in content. And we're offering 2 so more people will have an opportunity to participate. I want you to be a part of that, because we're going to talk about why community, how we do community, and then what that means for you, and then how you can take some steps to get connected. So February the 9th, February 16th, child care is provided, and we'll have registration up this week. Maybe you go, I'm going to start making Sunday morning a priority. I'm going to stop just showing up whenever I want to. And I'm going to make it a commitment. When I plan my weekly rhythm, I'm going to plan Sunday morning to be here, to serve, to grow, to participate. As Doug said, to study the scriptures together and allow the Spirit of God through the people of God as we open up God's Word to do a transformative work in our life. Maybe your step is, man, I'm going to start inviting people to be a part of like what we're doing on Sunday. I've got people in my neighborhood. I got people on my job, at my campus, within my circle of accountability. I want to invite them to Sunday. I'm going to invite them into my life group. Maybe for you, it's, I'm going to be known this year. I'm going to stop hiding. I'm going to stop just keeping people at arm's length. I'm going to stop keeping people at a safe distance. And this year, I'm going to begin to pray about one or two people that I can actually move towards and invite them into my life. Maybe it's stewardship. I'm going to take stewardship seriously this year. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's time, your resources. Perhaps it's I'm going to begin to give financially to God's mission through His church. Do you know that the average statistic across North America, the average percentage that's given to the mission of God through the local church is just 2%? Which is incredibly sad. I want you to know, man, it is a joy to give and invest in the kingdom of God for that which is eternal. And maybe, just maybe, this year is the Lord saying, I'm going to think outside of myself. And if I do exist to know the knowledge and glory of God, and I am being transformed by that knowledge and glory, then I'm actually going to invest in the local church in ways that would spread the knowledge and glory of God to this region and beyond. A gospel-saturated people, filled with God's presence, equipped for God's purposes everywhere we go. Would you stand with me? How are you going to pray that prayer? We're going to sing another song. And I just invite you to use this time to think about what is it that the Lord is leading you to pray this year.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.